Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we need to start with the U.S. equity markets because, well, they're red across the board. We're seeing markets, the Dow's down about 1.2% as we're recording this. That is over 400 points. And we have the NASDAQ, that's the biggest loser of the day, down over 2%, over 300 points down today. Look, the fact of the matter is we have talked a lot about it early on this year, this rotation out of growth into value and what that means for tech stocks. So the NASDAQ underperforming the other markets. Overall, though, I feel like this action, as we head closer and closer to what will be the start of a Fed rate hike cycle, we don't know how long that cycle is going to go on for, but we typically can see a sell-off, a bit of a pullback in equity markets, as at least a little bit capital can be a bit more constrained during these rate hiking cycles. Ed, is this all just about the upcoming Fed rate hikes, interest rates moving higher, and markets at least taking a little bit more of a defensive or cautious road?
I think right now what we're seeing, a market that is looking at the Fed and they see Fed Chair Powell is scrambling. The Fed, after the latest non-farm payroll report, it basically told you a picture that we're pretty much at maximum employment, a three handle, 3.9% on the unemployment rate. And, you know, we could go over all the other labor statistics that really support why this market is really suggesting we're pretty much at mission accomplished there. You know, the Fed is really only fixated on inflation, and everything is screaming that these pricing pressures are still surging, and that, you know, when we take a look at the upcoming CPI report that we're going to get on Wednesday, we're expecting a 7.1% annual reading, and that is going to be a near four-decade high. And this is why you're starting to see much of Wall Street, everyone is now pricing in, okay, wow, you know, a month ago we were thinking maybe two, three was being aggressive for Fed rate hikes for 2022. Now you're seeing three, possibly four, as how many rate hikes we could see. And now a lot of people are anticipating too, you're going to have the Fed also kick off that balance sheet runoff sometime in the summer. So we went from thinking that, you know, you were going to see the Fed be very slow to delivering interest rate hikes, to now they're scrambling. They were behind the ball on inflation. And this has really, you know, been easily seen on tech. And tech has been battered over these past, since the start of the year. And I think you're probably seeing a lot of traders. At first, they said, well, let's rotate out of tech and let's go into the great rotation trade. Cyclicals will outperform. And now we're even seeing cyclicals are struggling today. And a lot of that, some of that is responsible because we've seen no progress with Build Back Better. Over the weekend, Senator Manchin, there were reports, Washington Post, highlighting that they've really not gotten anywhere closer. They really haven't had any talks. And I think that Manchin, it seems he's posturing, but he's saying he's pulling back his $1.8 trillion social spending blueprint. So I think that, you know, right now it just seems that we're just getting hit with lots of a wall of worry for U.S. equities. And I think that still, you know, the growth story is still there for stocks. But as far as the way traders want to position themselves for the rest of the year, that story has changed. And I think the relentless, the easy, just, you know, whatever dip you get in big tech, that no longer seems to be in vogue right now. I think a lot of traders now, they're seeing there's greater value in buying, going into cyclicals, going into some of the reopening trade, and only getting back into some of the big cap tech stocks that after you've seen a substantial pullback. So I think you're seeing stocks are slumping right now. A lot of that mainly on inflation and as these treasuries are surging. But I think we're probably, and some of the move in treasury yields, I think we're slowly going to be hitting the short-term peak here. I think that we've gone up significantly, and I think that you're probably going to see that for for now, and I think until we get to the Wednesday CPI reading, you know, we're probably, at least for the 10-year, we'll probably trade sub 180. I think that we're still looking at a market that we've really just, you know, in just the beginning of the year, we've gone from, you know, 150 to 180 in just a matter of 10 days. So it's been excessive, and I think you're probably going to see a little bit of a pause here. So, but I think everything that we're seeing on inflation, all the high frequency data suggests that Omicron is going to keep the next month's pricing report to keep inflation going higher.
Yeah, well, with the higher inflation expectations now, not just the inflation readings, but more and more inflation expectation readings showing up in some of the data and the market expecting it to stick around a little bit longer, including the Fed, do you think that's why some investors are favoring other companies that can actually control their prices? So if there is continued inflation, they can pass those prices on to consumers, because we're starting to see that with consumer staples too. Some of the household names and food companies and some of the retail, you know, semiconductors are still doing good. Do you think that's shaping some of the investment thesis here and the January effect?
Very, very much so. And I think you're probably going to see a lot of traders. They're anticipating that you could easily make the case that, you know, the 10-year yield could easily make a run towards 2% at some point this year. And you're probably going to see the pain for tech is likely to remain elevated until we get past those first two rate hikes. So consumer staples, utilities, healthcare, energy will likely become, you know, some of the favored bets for a lot of traders. I think that you're also seeing financials, that's going to be a tricky one. And I think when you consider how the Treasury curve is behaving, that is going to be one of the more interesting ones, because the Fed can control the short end of the curve. The long end is that's the problem. And I think what you're going to see is the way they can impact that is with how they approach the balance sheet runoff. And I think the earliest that they can start that runoff is possibly June, maybe July. And it's going to be difficult for them to do that. And I think for them to do the runoff in June, you would need to see the March rate hike happen. And I think right now that has now become the consensus. I think you're seeing that it's almost 80% right now expectations that you're going to have them move in March. And that's before, you know, the CPI reading on Wednesday. So I think that you could have the Fed already delivered a couple of rate hikes before, you know, they're considering starting that balance sheet runoff. But if they do, then that would be what could be the catalyst to help the longer end of the curve go higher. I think there is some skepticism that is how quickly they will be doing that. I think that when you take a look at the minutes and the notes, you know, there is no strong consensus on that. And that is where the debate is going to be heated. So I think that is why you're going to see, I think the long end of the curve somewhat struggle here, and why it should be somewhat supportive for trades like gold, and you're probably going to see that the flattener will likely eventually work its way in. I think after we're past those first couple of rate hikes.
So Ed, big picture, before we move on from the markets, as much as we want to analyze what the Fed might do and some of the background workings of money freedom and money flow, is this just going to be another dip that's bought, do you think, broadly by investors? Because as much weakness as we're seeing, we are simply seeing the S&P right back to some of these moving averages that have been quite supportive the whole way up over the last more than year and a half.
The growth story is too good, and I think you're still going to have a pretty good earnings season. So I think this is an environment where the dip should be bought.
Well, Ed, you had brought up how the interest rates may affect the gold market, and same thing with people moving to more of a defensive trade. So far, we haven't really seen much action in gold to start the year. What's your outlook for the precious metals?
I think that for gold, this has been a very interesting start to the year. When you consider what happened to gold at the end of, or for much of 2021, I think gold underperformed. I think what happened to gold, a lot of institutional investors, they scaled down some of their traditional gold positions and they put it into some crypto trades. And I think what also happened was we kept having stocks hit record highs. So you didn't have that much of an argument for safe haven trades. And on the inflationary side, gold it held up as an inflation hedge, but it really wasn't that strongly correlated as a good inflation hedge. Gold's environment, and you also had King Dollar for a good part or much of the year. So I think now you're in an environment here where gold has a lot of things going for it. First of all, already we're only in the sixth trading day of the year, I think, and you have Bitcoin already down 11%. You have the dollar. Dollar's having a decent day. You have treasury yields surging. And meanwhile, gold is only down about 1.6% on the year so far, year to date. And it's at 1800. And I think that gold is really going to benefit because the long end of the curve is not really going to skyrocket. The Fed is going to make the short end go up a lot higher. And I think that you've seen a lot of the fourth quarter, you started to see a lot of people starting to price in those rate hikes. I think that 2-3, that was heavily priced in. Now you're getting to 3-4. That is still an environment that gold can still thrive in. And I think that what's going to really benefit gold is that you're going to have that outperformance of European assets. And that's going to really, in the end, going to send the dollar a lot lower. I think that second half of the year, you're really going to have that the dollar is going to be, I think, finally on a downward trend. So I think you're probably going to have that gold is going to probably, I think, in the short term, it's going to be in a difficult environment as you still have some dollar dominance until we get past that first rate hike. But I think in the end that you're still going to see that gold will probably continue to make a run towards the winter highs. And I think once we get past 1860, 1870 region, we could see a strong case that you can have another run towards 1900 before we're closer towards the end of the year.
Todd, you also mentioned cryptos, especially Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is down significantly from its highs last year. But the thing is, I'm not hearing a whole lot of crypto people, in a way, crying in their soup. I don't hear a whole lot of people saying, oh, no, we need, like, crypto's done in that sense. There does seem to still be this built-in audience that likes crypto, even during these sell-offs. They say buy the dip in crypto, although you could consider this recent move down of almost 40% a crash. And it's happened all pretty quickly. Do you think the overall mentality to crypto has changed? Is this crash going to make people take a bit more of a defensive play into that sector?
It was fascinating because when Bitcoin broke below 50,000, there was this belief that it was going to be a very quick dip. And the crypto community, or the cryptoverse, as some like to call it, they realized quickly that once buyers did not emerge, or some people were focused on the DeMarc pattern, they said, oh no, we're actually going to see one last plunge. And there was calls for 37,000, some even targeting a further dip. And then I think what happened was you had the whole retail community that said, well, this is not the time to buy. And I think that you also had a lot of traders then. They just focused on the altcoin move. And I think what happened was you can't have the altcoins thrive without Bitcoin doing well. So what happened was everything just went down. But the crypto people were widely expecting one last plunge and they were prepared for it. And I think that when you consider how, you know, this morning we saw that plunge below 40,000, and then the market was fascinating because you saw that dip that was quickly, once it, I think it stabilized just ahead of 39,670, and then it rallied up to 42,000. And I think you could see that there are a lot of traders that they know that Bitcoin is going to remain volatile, and they know that you're going to blink and it's just, there's just too much money that is still looking to get back in. A lot of the big money got out and they're looking to get back in. And I think what you're going to see is a lot of those traders, they're scaling their positions of entry. They're looking to get in at 37, 35, some 34. There's nothing on the regulatory side that has derailed the longer term outlook that it's still potentially going to head much higher. So I think a lot of traders are still very upbeat. And I think that's why you're probably going to see a lot of traders, they remain fairly optimistic for Bitcoin. Ethereum has been, you know, last year crushed it up around 500%, but they had a major setback, a fundamental setback, and that their blockchain wasn't really for full scalability. So that one, I think they're still the preferred blockchain. They're still, you know, in the lead of being the one that will be the one that the winner as far as what is everything is built on. That one, they did have a setback. So that story is, you know, TBD, but I think still everyone wants to make sure that that is a key holding of their portfolio. But, you know, I think people are, you know, making sure that they have investments in other coins like Polkadot, Solana, and several other ones, because they want to make sure that, you know, in a few years, we don't know which one will be the top blockchain. So there's the space is growing. And I think what's also complicated the move in Bitcoin and Ethereum is that a lot of money is also is going into other metaverse investments and NFTs and other types of crypto type investments or vehicles. And that's, you know, diluting the field. So it's still a space that is growing and the interest is still strong. But I think the path back to record high territory will be a lot harder.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. One other thing to consider is that even though Bitcoin's down about 40% just in about 2 months, look to early 2021, not even a year ago, it dropped almost 60% in about 2 to 3 months. So that market, it's volatile. And well, that last sell-off brought it down to below 30,000. We'll see where this one bottoms and if it's another higher low, I guess. But boy, oh boy, cryptos, they're volatile. I think everybody understands that. Ed, thank you very much for your time. As always, great chatting with you early on in the week. We'll chat again early next week.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.